The Bible is a book about Israel, yet its message is a universal one for all nations. Learn God's purpose for Israel and discover how all mankind can become a part of this unique nation. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Did you know that the Bible is a book about Israel? And yet, Israel is a total mystery to religions in this world. That's a shocking statement, but it is true. And you need to also realize that you can't even understand the purpose of man unless you understand the truth about Israel. Now, you can prove that. I'm not making statements that can't be proved. Also, you can't even reach your human potential, your incredible human potential, if you don't understand the truth about Israel. So I'd like to encourage you to look into this more closely than you ever have before. Did you ever wonder why God raised up Israel and he's not a respecter of persons? Is he a respecter of nations? Is he a being that has a favorite? Well, these are many questions that we need to answer. And also, did you know that God didn't even offer salvation to ancient Israel except for the prophets? He didn't even offer that to them. And here's another shocker. The northern kingdom of Israel was not Jewish. You can look at 2 Kings 16 and verse 6 and see that the first time the word Jews is mentioned, they're at war with Israel. Now, how do you explain that? Well, I've been going through a series of programs on Herbert W. Armstrong's book, Mystery of the Ages. And the seven mysteries are, who and what is God? That's a mystery to this world. And the mystery of angels and evil spirits, number two. Number three, the mystery of man. Number four, the mystery of civilization. And number five, mystery of Israel. And number six, mystery of the church. It is a mystery, and the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, I want to talk about the mystery of Israel today, that fifth mystery. And I'll begin in talking about Abraham, or Abram, as he was called before he was converted. But he was called the father of the faithful. Now notice in Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2, get you out of this your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. So God says, made this wonderful promise to Abraham. He's going to make him a great nation. And he started Israel with one single man, just like he started humanity with one single man. But here, Abraham was the patriarch of Israel. That was the congregation or the church of the Old Testament. But the physical congregation of Israel under the Old Testament is really only a type of the New Testament Israel or the church of God. And you can find that principle of duality throughout the Bible. The Old Testament is just a forerunner or a type of the New Testament and what happens there. In Isaiah 43 and verse 21, it says this, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Now that was God's plan for Israel, to really show forth his praise and show the world how to obey God and receive a multitude of blessings that God promises if you do that. And again, you'll find this duality here in Abraham as we found it in the first Adam, material and carnal man, and the second Adam, Jesus Christ, spiritual and divine. And there's the old covenant and there's a new covenant. All this duality. And there's duality in Abraham's two phases of the promises to him. And that is, one was purely material and national, the other spiritual and individual. Here he was the father of the faithful. That includes Gentiles, Israelites, everybody, if they have faith in God. Spiritually, you see, all mankind is to become Israel. And that's something that many people don't understand. But the Apostle Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. That's in Romans 11 and verse 13. But look at verse 17. I'll quickly read that to you. Verse 17, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and you," that is the Gentiles, Paul went to the Gentiles, "and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in," that is, in among them, that is Israel, "and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree," the Gentiles spiritually become a part of Israel. You can see, I'll just paraphrase this, but in Romans 2 in verses 28 and 29, it says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly." And you can find in the very last era of God's church in Revelation 3 and verse 7, it talks about the Philadelphia era. And then it goes on in verse 9 and says that there's some of them that turned away from God's church, and that synagogue of Satan, and they say they're Jews, but they lie. So the lesson there is that we all even become spiritual Jews when we become converted to God's way of life. But I want to go back to ancient Israel and show you something here. Verse 5 of Exodus 19. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, and indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel." Now they were to be a kingdom of priests. They were to teach the world about God if the world was inclined to receive that teaching. But they were also a holy nation, but this was all on a carnal level. They didn't have God's Holy Spirit, but it was by the letter of the law. And that was a wonderful way to live, the best way you could possibly live if you don't have God's Holy Spirit. But it was designed, you see, to bring prosperity and a carnal level of peace to Israel. But notice what happened. I'll just quickly read this to you. Exodus 19 and verse 8. "All that the Eternal has spoken, we will do." Now, that's what Israel told God, but, well, did they do that? Did they do it the way they said they would? Well, no, they didn't. Then we'll look at Jeremiah 3 and verse 20, where it says, "Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Eternal." So look at that. Now, they just simply didn't measure up to what God wanted them to and what they said they would. But this nation of Israel was God's nation. And God was there, and they could appeal to God. And he gave them his church. It was all on a physical level. They were not a spiritual nation. Why did God go through all that? What was the purpose of all that? I want to show you, because it's one of the most amazing truths in the Bible. And yet, only a tiny few understand it. And you can prove that to yourself. But just think about these people who had all these spectacular miracles that God showed them when the Red Sea parted and they walked across on dry land between these two walls of water. And then when the Egyptian army followed behind them, those walls collapsed and drowned the entire army. Now that's such a miracle, you'd think, well, hey, they could make it. They could do anything if they saw a miracle like that. But that wasn't the case. They were grumbling shortly after that about certain things they didn't like. And if you go on to Mount Sinai, look at what happened there. The mountain was like on fire, and there was lightning and thunder, and the mountain was shaking when the Ten Commandments were given, and the people were scared to death. But what a miracle that was. The sun stood still in the time of Joshua. What kind of a miracle is that? And again, they defeated their enemies by various means. Sometimes God even sent hornets before them to take care of the enemy. It is amazing when you think about all the miracles that God performed. But let me read something to you here, and I hope you'll listen closely, because it is a foundational truth of the Bible that you need to understand if you're going to understand why ancient Israel. Why did God put them through all this? Well, here's the reason. A quote from the book Mystery of the Ages. God now decided to give them knowledge of His law, His kind of government, His way of life. He was going to prove to the world that without His Holy Spirit, their minds were incapable of receiving and utilizing such knowledge of the true ways of life. He was going to demonstrate to them that the mind of man with its one spirit, one human spirit, and without the addition of God's Holy Spirit, could not have spiritual discernment, could not solve human problems, could not cure the evils that were besetting humanity. The nation Israel would be His guinea pig to demonstrate that fact. Do you want to know why man can't solve his problems? Well, it tells you right there, and these people had God directing them if they would allow Him to. But this was His nation, and he made a covenant with them, the old covenant, a marriage covenant. You talk about intimacy. He really had it with Israel if they would only allow Him to have it. God was their husband, and they were married to Him. They had an old covenant marriage, and still they failed. How do you explain that? Unless you understand that they didn't have the Holy Spirit of God, except the prophets. They didn't have it. God didn't offer them salvation. He wanted to prove to the world what Mr. Armstrong says here. And do we understand that? Just think about, hey, it seems like all the conditions were perfect except they didn't have God's Holy Spirit. Mr. Armstrong went around and met more world leaders perhaps than any other person when he was alive, especially the last decade of his life. And he said he met emperors and rulers and kings and people like that, and they admitted to him that the problems they had facing them could not be solved by human beings. Now that's an astounding truth that we ought to understand after all this history that we've had. But those problems are of a spiritual nature and can only be solved spiritually. That's what men don't understand. One more quote from Mr. Armstrong here. The many decades and centuries of ancient Israel prove that the carnal mind can't solve their problems. To Israel, God gave His statutes and judgments as well as His spiritual law, but these perfect laws did not, without God's Holy Spirit, solve the nation's problems. God could say, "I am God, take my word for it," but God gave proof through Israel that without the Holy Spirit, man is helpless. Man is helpless. They had God to appeal to, and they still failed. Now there has to be a reason for that. Is the fault God's? No, it isn't. God is perfect. It's not God's fault. But they proved by experience that man, without the Holy Spirit in him, cannot be righteous, and he's totally helpless. And that's what we haven't learned today. Look what we're facing. Our number one problem is that of human survival. and man doesn't have a solution. It's beyond man solving. We ought to understand that. Notice Genesis 12 and verse 1. And let me read this again with an added verse. This is verse 1 of Genesis 12. Now the Eternal had said unto Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, race. And then he says, in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Grace, salvation to all humanity. A promise that that would come through Abraham as well. Now, if you talk about a nation, you're talking about race, but if you talk about all families of the earth, well, then you're talking about grace being given to them. Genesis 22 and verse 18 says, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's talking about Christ and the salvation that comes through Christ. It's also mentioned in Galatians 3, verses 8 and 16, if you'd like to read that. See, that one, the great nation is certainly not one seed. That's talking about Jesus Christ coming along, the second Adam that is going to eat from the tree of life and be perfect and die for our sins and prepare us to receive the Holy Spirit of God in us. And that's how Christ lives in us. We're saved by His life, Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. That's what Romans tells us. But later on, you can see in Genesis 17 that he became, that is, Abraham became the father of many nations. And that can't refer to one seed either. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy 10 and verse 19, where God says to Israel, love you therefore the strangers, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So they were told to love the strangers, those of other countries, the Gentiles. In verse 20, you shall fear the Eternal your God, him shall you serve, and to him shall you cleave and swear by his name. He is your praise. Now, this he is your praise. You ought to be praising God to the whole world. And Israel didn't do that, never did that. They failed in that. And that's what God wanted them to do, and that's what the church has to do today. That is the solution. Notice, and here we go from the old covenant to the new covenant. But you are a chosen generation. But notice how similar these words are. One was the old covenant on a physical level, and the new covenant is on a spiritual level. And notice almost the same words, but much greater depth here in verse 9 of 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, here Peter's talking about a kingdom of priests who could teach the word of God to other people and help them understand how to live the way of being blessed always before God. But here it's called a royal priesthood, indeed, a spiritual royal priesthood of people who have the Holy Spirit living in them, who have Christ living in them through the Holy Spirit. It's still called a holy nation, and certainly is that, this time spiritually. But Israel didn't even make it holy on the letter of the law level, as they should have. So here we have God's church. You see, if we're doing our job before Jesus Christ gets here, we're showing forth the praises of God. We should have our lives filled with praise for God because of the wonderful blessings He's given us and continues to give us repeatedly, even before we receive salvation in the family of God and as the very bride of Jesus Christ, if we heed God's message before the second coming. Then we don't have to be resurrected to get to know God. See, God had that goal with ancient Israel on a on a physical level or a letter of the law level. Notice now in what it says here in Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Hebrews 8 and verse 6 says, "But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." That is, you can get forgiveness for your sins. That's a better promise. You can receive eternal life. That's a better promise. You can now call out to God the Father, your Father, and pray to Him, and He will take you into His family forever, and you will be a God being. Now, that's what your Bible teaches throughout. It really is. How wonderful is that? How inspiring and moving is that? Notice, here's where Israel failed, and yet so many people don't understand this, and I wish they would look more closely at these scriptures because they're so stirring and moving and so uplifting. Verse 7, "For if that first covenant," the old covenant, "had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Well, there's no need for a second if that first one is perfect. But what's wrong with the old covenant? "For finding fault with them," the problem was with the people. Well, why do they have a problem? Here they had the old covenant with a perfect law, and it's not God's law that was the fault. It's perfect. Psalm 19 verse 17 says. And it says the fault is with them. No Holy Spirit. They couldn't deal with the problems they had, which are spiritual in nature. They couldn't do that. God was showing all Israel and the world that the fault is with us. We're going to have to learn we must have another spirit. And then he says he's going to write those laws in our heart, not on tables of stone. I want to just read to you or mention to you here at the end. Well, you can, in Genesis 49, it talks about Jacob saying to Ephraim and Manasseh, "Let my name be named on them." So prophetically, that is Britain and America. And they are Israel, the two nation birthright nations of Israel in this end time. And the Jews are the scepter nation. And God is going to punish them first if they don't repent of their sins, because we are just deluged with sins today. Surely we can see that if we know anything about the Bible. And if you read Mystery of the Ages and study it, you'll understand that in a very vivid and stark way. Let me tell you, you will. But I did want to mention just this about Solomon, and he had a son, Rehoboam, and then Jeroboam rebelled against his son and took the 10 tribes of Israel with him. They followed Jeroboam, and he was like a prime minister to Solomon, really a great man with a lot of ability. So he turned the 10 tribes of Israel, they were not Jewish, the 10 tribes of Israel away from the Jews and away from Jerusalem and away from David's throne. Now, I want to just tell you this. There is a modern day Jeroboam, that's mentioned in Amos 7. And he is going to come on the scene in this end time. And we have just decided to totally overdo again the Great Again booklet and add a chapter to it about who is this Jeroboam and what is he all about in this end time that's like the ancient Jeroboam. So we've changed this book in many, many ways and updated it. So we'd like to ask you to go ahead if you'd like and order it again or request it again. It is now so much more powerful and has revelation about this modern day Jeroboam that will astound you. And I mean astound you. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful truth. So do write for this new booklet. And I'm telling you, you're going to be moved and stirred by it. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
The Bible is a book about Israel, yet its message is a universal one for all nations. Learn God's purpose for Israel and discover how all mankind can become a part of this unique nation. God called the ancient nation of Israel to be an example to the world. Without God's Holy Spirit, Israel failed to accomplish its purpose. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Great Again, to learn how the modern descendants of ancient Israel are also failing to be a shining light in a dark world. The updated version of this booklet contains a new chapter about the modern-day Jeroboam. Anciently, King Jeroboam led Israel into idolatry and changed the dates and observances of God's holy days. A modern type of Jeroboam is prophesied to sink America into an abominable display of false religion in the end time. Read Great Again to discover God's solution to America's rebellion. Understand how America truly will become great again in a way that most people would never expect. Ancient Israel broke its old covenant agreement with God. Request Lesson 21 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course to discover why Israel failed, despite having every advantage. Learn how God replaced Israel with His church. To understand what God expects from true Christians today, study Lesson 21. Marriage is a covenant. With your order, you'll also receive a free Key of David DVD, Who is the Modern Day Jeroboam? Learn how a type of the ancient king who destroyed Israel is here in America today. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Great Again, Marriage is a Covenant, and Who is the Modern Day Jeroboam? Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.